screen. And it's the next one. That is the first picture. But it's the next one that I'm wanting. Does anybody recognize this lady? She will have been on the news quite a bit in days gone by. Does anybody know her name? Pauline is her first name, that's right. Does anybody know her second name? That's a bit more tricky, isn't it? Pauline Kafake, if I pronounce it right. My wife is telling me that I haven't pronounced it correctly. Cafferty. Cafferty. Is it a T or a K? I'm not sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Pauline is her name. And Pauline went out to Sierra Leone, which is in Western Africa. And she went out with a charity, Save the Children. And the idea was to help people with the Ebola disease. Now, this disease is a terrible disease. Let me tell you what the symptoms include. Fever, intense weakness, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, which apparently is then followed by vomiting, diarrhea, rash, impaired liver and kidney function, and in some cases, both internal and external bleeding. I'm told that 90% of people that get Ebola die. So it's a pretty serious disease. And guess what happened to this lady when she went out to Sierra Leone? Well, she caught the disease. She caught Ebola and became extremely unwell. And here is a picture of her being transported, sorry, it's not very clear, back to London, where they're able to put her into intensive care. She didn't die. She did come through it. But let me ask the question, why did she leave her comfortable home in order to go to Sierra Leone, where there was the possibility of her catching this terrible disease? Why do you think she went? Why do you think she would do that? Why would anyone do that? Well, because she saw a people who were in need. And she wanted to use the skills that she had in order to try to help as many people as she possibly could. Where did Jesus come from in order to minister on earth? Well, we know the answer to that question. He came from heaven, where everything is wonderful. There's no sickness or pain or suffering in heaven. There's no disappointment in heaven. Jesus came from a place that was perfect, glorious, wonderful. Well, why would he leave a place like that? In order to come into our sin-sick world. A world of pain, a world of disappointment, a world that is so messed up. Well, Jesus came into the world in order to call sinners to repentance. He came into the world so that all sinners who respond to his call and look to him for forgiveness might receive that forgiveness. We've seen, haven't we, over the last 2 weeks, that Jesus is willing to forgive sins and that Jesus has the authority or the power to forgive sins. Well, this week we're going to be thinking about how Jesus left the glory of heaven in order that he might come into this world to call sinners to repentance. Our key verse for this morning is verse 31 of Luke chapter 5. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Well, let's be encouraged, shall we, now to open up our Bibles at Luke and chapter 5. Luke and chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 27. If you've got a church Bible, it's on page 1032. 1032. 1032. Luke chapter 5, starting to read at verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at the tax collector booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Well, we thank God for the reading of his word. We're going to stand and sing again. Shall we bow our heads once again in prayer? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that each week we have this opportunity to focus our thoughts upon your Son and his death for us upon the cross. We never want to lose sight of the Lord Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his willing obedience to the Father. We thank you for his resurrection. We thank you for his ascension into heaven, where he ever lives to intercede for us. Not only has he saved us, but he's also provided us with an example, and we pray that we may be helped as believers to follow the example of our Lord Jesus. Like the Apostle Paul, we want to know him more and to become increasingly conformed to his likeness or his image. We've been thinking much midweek in recent days about sanctification or growing into the likeness of Christ, and we pray that you would so work in our lives that we may become more and more like the one who has saved us by his grace. Oh Lord, there are so many rough edges to knock off. We're so lacking in faith, lacking in love towards you and towards one another, and we pray that you might be at work to increase our faith, to increase our love, to make us more holy. Oh, help us, Lord, not to love the things of this world, but to grow in our love for you and for your ways. We pray that even today would be a day when we make progress in the Christian life. We thank you that we can look forward to that day when our sanctification will be complete. There's coming a day, we know, when we will see Jesus face to face and will be changed. We'll become like him in the twinkling of an eye. And yet help us, O Lord, to be holy as you are holy. Even whilst we are here upon the earth, that we might shine brightly for you in this dark and perverse generation in which we live. Lord, as we have our heads bowed, we thank you that we can pray for those engaged in various types of evangelistic ministry. We pray today for David Fortune and other colleagues of his that work tirelessly in the prisons around our country. We do pray that you would keep David well and fit and able to engage in this work, and we pray that you would grant him wisdom as he seeks to head the work up. We pray that finances that are needed will be provided by your people, and we thank you that we can play a part in giving to this vital work of God. We thank you that there are opportunities to go into the various prisons, and we pray that these opportunities might remain. Indeed, we pray that there may be more opportunities, and that David and others would be able to say all that they would want to say. We thank you that there are prisoners that have been converted. We thank you that there are those who are studying your word, and where there are men and women that have become Christians, we pray that you would help them to remain strong and faithful in that difficult environment. Lord, it's difficult for us to go into many situations, but you open up doors for your people to go, and we thank you for this. Lord, as we look into your word this morning, we do pray that you would open up our eyes to see all that you want us to see. And we do ask that you would speak to each and every one of us. Maybe for some of us, it's simply going to be a reminder of all that Jesus has done. And may we be filled with joy. But perhaps for some this morning, it will be a message that they so desperately need to hear. And we pray that you would impress it upon their minds and their hearts, and they may come to trust in the Lord Jesus. Lord, please be at work in this place by the power of your Holy Spirit. What can we do? What can we achieve? What can we understand apart from your Holy Spirit's work? And so we pray that you might be at work here in this place today. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If we can have the next picture, please, up on the screen, Naomi. Thank you. That's the one. Jesus has been preaching to a large crowd by the lake, but obviously he didn't stay that forever. He went on his way with his disciples, and we see in the next picture that he came across a man who was at work in his tax collector's booth. His name was Levi, also known as Matthew. He was a fairly low-ranked tax collector. Many of us here will know of Zacchaeus. Well, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. People like Levi would have worked for the likes of Zacchaeus. But in those days, the Jews really didn't like tax collectors. They worked for the Romans, who oppressed them. And they also had a tendency to take more money from people than they should have done. And for this reason, they were considered to be sinners. Well, Jesus said to Levi, "Follow me." Two simple words, "follow me." And we read that Levi left everything in order to follow Jesus. In other words, Jesus was saying to Levi, "I want you to come and be one of my disciples or one of my apostles." And that's exactly what happened in the case of Levi. Do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Peter and how that Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And Peter left everything. He left his nets, he left his fish, in order to be a disciple or an apostle of Jesus. This man Levi, who we're talking about this morning, actually wrote the first book in the New Testament. Remember a second or two ago, I said that he's also known as Matthew. Well, that's his claim, if you like, to fame. Well, sometime later, we can see this in the next picture, Levi held a banquet, a feast, we might say a party. And he invited Jesus along as his honoured guest. He also invited lots of his tax collector friends, as well as his sinner friends. I don't suppose Levi called them sinners, but the religious authorities of the day would have viewed them as sinners. Why do you think he invited Jesus to be his honoured guest? Well, he'd obviously come to know Jesus and to love the Lord Jesus. But I would suggest that he invited Jesus along because he wanted all his tax collector and sinner friends to meet the Lord Jesus. You see, in Jesus, one could be forgiven. One could be transformed. One could be given a new start in life. I just want to give a little word of application at this point, mainly for the adults. It's important to have non-Christian friends. That may seem an obvious thing to say, but I think sometimes as we go on in the Christian life, we can find, if we're not careful, that we've become surrounded by Christians and that we don't have too many non-Christian friends. But unless we've got lots of non-Christian friends, how can we introduce people to Jesus? The wonderful thing about Levi was that he still had lots of non-Christian friends, and so he was able to introduce them all to Jesus. But another application point that I want to make is this: that a good place to talk about Jesus and introduce people to Jesus is around the meal table. Just read the Gospels and see how much eating and drinking Jesus and the disciples do. I think you might be surprised by how much around the table eating and drinking goes on in the Gospel. You know, one of the things that we endeavour to do as a family is to sit down around the table at least once a day to have a meal. You see, we know that if we just sit on the couch with our meal on our laps, watching the television, there's going to be no family conversation. More importantly, there's going to be no conversation about the Lord Jesus. It's as we meet around the meal table that we talk to one another, find out what each other have been doing throughout the course of any given day. But more importantly, there's such an easy opportunity to talk about the Lord Jesus. So just a little challenge there. If you're sitting on the couch every day with your meal on your lap watching the television, maybe it's worth thinking about changing the way that you do meal times. Well, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, as we can see in this next picture, complained to the disciples of Jesus about Jesus eating and drinking with these unclean people, these sinners. You see, their view was that you separated yourself from such people, that you only ate and drank with clean people or righteous people. I wonder why they went and spoke to the disciples and not directly to Jesus. I'm not 100% sure that I got the right answer, but I suspect that it was much easier talking to the disciples than it was Jesus. Because as we've already seen in Luke's gospel, Jesus had a tendency to expose the hearts of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And, well, it was often quite painful for them. I probably ought to have said that this conversation wouldn't have taken place at the house of Levi, for the simple reason that the teachers of the law and the Pharisees would not have been invited to the banquet or to the feast. And even if they had have been invited, they wouldn't have gone. So it must have happened sometime afterwards. Well, in this picture you can see that it looks as if it's happening immediately afterwards, but we can't be entirely sure about that. Well, Jesus didn't dispute, did he, the fact that he was eating and drinking with sinners. Jesus knew exactly what they were, but Jesus wasn't going to keep his distance from these people. Why? Because he knew their need. He saw them for what they were. Sin-sick sinners. And he wanted to help them. He wanted to offer them forgiveness. That's exactly why he went to them. Look what Jesus said, verse 31. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And I think it's clear, isn't it, from this verse that Jesus sees himself as a physician or a doctor. Levi's friends were sick with sin and they needed to be cured. They needed to be healed or freed from their disease of sin. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law probably thought that Jesus ought to be having dinner with them. After all, he was a religious teacher, and so were they. He was righteous, and so were they. Or at least they thought they were. The reality was that they were just as sinful as Levi's tax collector sinners just as Levi's friends who were tax collectors and sinners. It was because the Pharisees and tax collectors thought that they were righteous that Jesus didn't go to them. He had come into the world, you see, to bring forgiveness to those who knew that they were sinners and were willing to ask forgiveness. Again, let me read verse 31. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I'm not quite done, but before we apply all of this, let's stand and sing, shall we? Again, number 690. Why didn't Jesus go to the houses of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Well, because they didn't see themselves as sinners and in need of repenting and finding forgiveness. They didn't think that they were sick with sin. So he went to the people who understood their condition. He went to the people who knew that they were sinners and were likely to respond to him in repentance and faith. Why did Jesus come? Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." All these years ago, Jesus went about calling sinners to repentance. happens. Now, Jesus is not living on this earth anymore. He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he is still calling sinners to repentance. I want to tell you a little story. It's a story that is told by Malcolm Jones. Now, Malcolm Jones is now the pastor of a church in Elmstead. He used to be the pastor at this church. On a Friday, I think it is, he now goes in to talk to men that are in prison. And not so long ago, he had the opportunity to speak to a man who had almost got to the end of his 15-year sentence. He'd been put into prison for murdering somebody. Now, this man had come into contact with another man that goes into the prison by the name of David Fortune. Many of you here, of course, will know that name. David used to be a pastor in a church not so far from here. And David's life made a significant impact upon this man. In fact, David was very good to this man. Well, David had encouraged him to read the Bible. And so in order to please David, he decided that he would pick up the Bible and read it. And the portion of scripture that he began reading was Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 is all about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul of Tarsus was a murderer. He had put to death Christians. But Saul of Tarsus had been forgiven by the Lord Jesus. And this man thought to himself, well, if God is able and willing to forgive a man like Saul of Tarsus, surely God is able and willing to forgive a man like me. And he asked the Lord Jesus for forgiveness, and he experienced the wonderful forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. And from what little I know, this man is going on with the Lord Jesus, seeking to walk with him day by day. He's been given a new start in life, just as Levi was given a new start in life. And perhaps just as many of Levi's friends were given new starts in life. I wonder this morning, do we know that we are sinners? I don't suppose any of us are here, I might be wrong, have murdered anybody. And maybe we don't consider ourselves to be great sinners, but the reality is that before God we are all sinners. Actually, before a holy God, we're all desperately wicked. We've transgressed God's laws in so many different ways, and we need to know his forgiveness. It is possible for us to be forgiven because Jesus has died upon the cross to pay the price for sins. We know that his sacrifice on the cross was good enough to address the problem of sin because he rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death. If we know that we are sinful, if we know that we have offended God and that we're separated from God because of our sin, we can look to Jesus. We can ask him for forgiveness, and he will be willing to forgive us. Do you remember what we've been considering over the last few weeks? Jesus is willing to forgive sins, and Jesus has the authority and the power to give sins. This is why he came into the world, to call sinners to repentance, so that when they repent and look to him, he might forgive them for all the wrong that they have done. Let me read verse 31. again as I finish. As I say, this is our verse for this morning. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you once again for your word to us this morning. And it's a word that many of us have heard many times before. This is nothing new, but we've been reminded that Jesus came into the world to call sinners like us to repentance. Lord, we pray that those around us, those whom we love, those whom we rub shoulders with throughout the week, might come to see that they are sinners before a holy God and are in need of repenting and experiencing the wonderful forgiveness of God. Many people, it would seem, that we know and love don't see themselves as perfect, but perhaps don't see themselves as sinners. Sinners in need of getting right with God. And therefore, we pray that you'd help us to witness to them and to impress upon them their need of trusting in the Lord Jesus. But Lord, may each and every one of us here this morning know what it is to find forgiveness with the judge of all the earth, the one who has created us, the one who has made us, and deserves, indeed demands, our obedience. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name.